Will you say that with me? I'm created for more. We'll take you right into the scriptures this morning. For those that don't like to read the Bible, close your ears. And I'll be back to you in a moment. Amen. We're going to Joshua, the 6th chapter, verse 1 in the New King James Version. Joshua 6, verse 1. We're talking about walls today. And you're created for more than the walls that's been placed in your life. That's what I want to deal with. But now Jericho was securely shut up. Remember, the children of Israel are moving to the promised land, and they've got some obstacles on their ways. They've got some mighty forces. Remember last week I ministered and I said that the spies came back and said, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. There's giants in the land. So they're facing giants. They're facing difficult situations. So now they're going to Jericho, and we'll get into that in a moment. That was no easy task. Now watch. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. None went out and none came in. But look at verse 2. Just remember this as we go on today. And the Lord said to Joshua, who said it? The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. Amen. Say what? You're going to see how difficult that statement was for Joshua to understand that. He said, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. That means your the armies, everything. I've given it all to you. You shall march around the city, all the men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This shall you do 6 days. For 6 days, you've got to go around one time around the walls of that city. And that was no small city. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns. Notice they're blowing trumpets before the ark. But the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall, remember this hasn't happened yet. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Now let me say this. Archaeologists have proven, even now, they're proving the fact that, yes, the walls of Jericho did in fact fall. They've uncovered it. Not that we would question the Bible, but it's true. It really happened, just like the Bible recorded it. So if you move down a little further in Joshua, the 6th chapter, verse 20, it says, so the people shouted. This is, they carried it out. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. It fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkey, with the edge of the sword. They conquered Jericho, a walled city. Now, I don't think this is a difficult thing for you to understand. We all have walls in our lives. Every one of us seated here, we have walls in our lives. And some of them, some of those walls are self-inflicted. We did it. And others are authored by the enemy of our soul, who is good at building walls. Mark that one down. What you do is self-inflicted oftentimes, but the one that's really good at building walls is the enemy of your soul. These walls that I speak of that he has built or has placed in your life is designed there. They're put into place to thwart God's purpose and plan, his intention for you in your life. That's why those walls are placed there. It's to stop you from being who you are. How many people are tired of not being who you know you can be? When those walls are placed there, you're closed off from anything beneficial. By that I mean, they're designed, again, let me say this, they're designed to thwart God's purpose and plan. But notice this, those walls that keep things in are the same walls that keep things out. The same walls are designed to keep things in will also keep things out. Hear this when I tell you, you're closed off because of those walls from anything that's beneficial. Because of the walls. The walls are there. And there's a lot of us sitting here today. We've all been guilty of having walls that we don't let anything in and nothing comes out. And you know I'm telling you the truth. And we pride ourselves in that. Nobody's going to get to me. Well, if nobody gets to you, that means you're probably not going to get to nobody. Let's go on with this. So life presents with us, to all of us, these walls or barriers, and it seems impossible to break them down. Has anybody faced that in their life? Those walls, those obstacles that you feel like it's impossible to break down. It's impossible to go forward. Nothing good's coming into your life and you feel like nothing good's going out of your life. You feel isolated. That's not God's plan. It seems impossible to get rid of it. There are walls of fear, walls of doubt, walls of confusion, walls of intimidation. I'm just mentioning a few. And many times they are multi-layered walls. Multi-layered. Everybody say multi-layered. This is important. There's multi-layered walls just like the walls of Jericho. And I didn't know that till this morning when I was studying. I didn't sleep much last night. I mean, all night long I was awake. Finally, I got out of bed. It was ridiculous. So I decided to take a look at this thing. Not that I haven't studied it before, because I have. But Jericho was very unique in that Jericho had a dual wall defense. Meaning there were two major walls, not just one wall, two major walls. The outer wall was about 6 feet thick and 20 feet tall. That's the outer wall. The inner wall was even thicker, about 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. And between those two walls, they had placed dirt in there in a certain way where it was a steep slope. Where anybody go over the first wall, it was going to be very difficult to make it through to the next wall because they created a steep slope. It was impossible for invaders to even scale it. So you think the walls that you have are impossible? Look at this. Not only what I just told you, but the city was built on a mound. It was built on a hill. On a stone retainer wall. So the overall height when you're standing at the bottom looking up at the wall, it was 40 to 50 feet tall. And God says to Joshua, I've given you the city. Say what? We'll get to that in a minute. Are you catching this? 40 to 50 feet tall. That's five stories tall. 12 feet thick on one of them. Enough to ride horses around the top of it. Chariots. They boasted they could do that. Can you see for a moment what I've just mentioned, just for in a brief time, because I want to pray for you today. I'm not taking a long time here because I don't think it takes a long time to give you some truth. Can anyone in here with me see the miracle of those walls coming down. What I just mentioned. This was a gigantic city with gigantic walls. And yet God says, see, Alan, I've given you your city. Put your name in it. God's trying to tell you something today. That I'm not through, we are not finished, because God is going to give us our city. God is going to give you that which you thought was impossible. I prophesy it. That which you thought was impossible, impenetrable, but God's going to show you who He is, and He's going to bring to pass that which He said He would do, and you're going to go forward, and you're going to defeat the enemy, and you're going to be prosperous and walk in health. That's what's going to happen. Why? Because the Word of God says it, not Alan. The Word of God says it. So I ask again, can you see the miracle in this? Say it out loud. Can you see it? So what are some of the walls that we face? These walls in our lives can be challenges. Challenges in our relationships. How many of y'all have had challenges in your relationships before? Now, don't look at your wife or your husband. Say, my God, it's his problem. It can be challenges in your relationships. Hey, how about your friendships? We could point at everybody, couldn't we? How about our finances? Walls in our finances. I see some hands going up, waving around there. How about in our health? How about in our spiritual walk, our spiritual journey? Because that can be difficult. And I looked at it this morning. I thought, now all these walls sound simple, but these walls could just be double trouble, just like the walls of Jericho. You get through one, and you got another that's even taller, higher. So you think you've gotten over one, and yet you stop there and you look up and you go, oh man. But see, God doesn't stop with the first wall. But here's the good news. Everybody say, I need some good news. Excuse me. Here's the good news. You were created for more than being confined or restricted by walls. It's time for the walls to come down. Just like Reagan said to Russia, he said, it's time for the walls to come down. In your life, whatever walls are restricting you or confining you, that's holding you back and holding you down, and you can label it, it's time for it to come down, because you'll never be who God wanted you to become until those walls are displaced. You'll be living beneath your privilege. Listen, how can we be salt and light? Jesus says you're salt of the earth. How can we be the light if we have nothing to offer? Help me here, church. If we're sick and poor and broke and how are we going to be salt and light? Who wants to be like that? God wants you to be like me. Praise God, I love Jesus, and I'm unhappy, and I'm sick. I'm broke, but I just love Jesus. You know who you're going to attract? Nobody. People want to see champions. They want to see heroes. They want to see people that are overcomers, not overrunners. Are overrun. So we're created for more. In Joshua 6, we see how the Israelites faced this impenetrable walls of Jericho. How do they do it? Through faith and obedience. Two words. Faith, you cannot please God without it, which the Bible says it clearly, and obedience. And obedience is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. Faith and obedience. They witnessed then, when they walked in faith and obedience, they witnessed God's power. So how can we achieve this? How can we do this? I'm going to give you some points. First, you must recognize that the battle belongs to the Lord. And until you realize that and live it out and accept it by faith, you're never going to see victory. Walls will stay standing. We have to recognize that the battle belongs to the Lord, for mere human effort cannot scale or bring these walls down. You can try and try. I know people right now, they're trying, they tried to get rid of an addiction through their human effort, and they can't break it. But God touches them, and they break it. I've seen that happen. I have a friend that was a heroin addict. But we prayed for him, and we got fairly close. When I prayed for him, we said, this is going to be taken away from you. The hunger for it will be taken away from you. This has been back 40 years ago. I said, it will be gone. Well, he decided, if he was here, he'd testify to this. He decided he'd shoot up one more time. Took that heroin, fixed it up, did his spoon, got it all perfect, strapped off his arm and stuck it in his arm. And when he stuck it in his arm, it jumped out of his arm. He picked it up and stuck it in there again. It jumped out of his arm. On the third time, he said, you know, God must be telling me something. He never went back to it again. And all the years I've known him, he's never went back to it again. I've watched God work on people before where they tried to give up certain things. So you understand those things do happen. I felt to pray for Steve back a couple weeks ago. And I've never prayed for him that way before. Steve, sitting right, raise your hand so everybody knows you're here. Steve's got a, you don't mind me saying this, Steve. Steve's got a real problem in that he's only got one kidney. And it's connected. It's a horseshoe kidney. And it's filled with big stones. Huh? About the size of your thumb. Now, I don't know if y'all know anything about kidney stones. That ain't fun. But that day I decided to pray for him the way that I prayed for him. And from what my wife told me today, in the last few weeks, you've not had to take that heavy medication during the day. None at all. You say, why? How does that happen? Steve had a wall. It came down. My other friend, his name was Steve. His wall came down. The other friend, I won't mention his name. His wall came down. The only thing I can't pray for is Jimmy Gross's golf game. You say, Bishop, does prayer really work like that? Let me get back in the message, but understand I had to step aside. What am I saying? We need to start relying on the one who can take down the wall. Before the Israelites even approached Jericho, here's God. God starts talking to his new general, Joshua, and he says, see, I have given you Jericho into your hands. I've given it to you. I can see Joshua standing there looking at the walls and looking at the city and looking at God going, of course, you couldn't see God. God was just speaking in his spirit. But can you imagine if you're standing down the city of Atlanta and God telling you he was going to give you the city and all you got to do is walk around it? And on the seventh day, walk around seven times and blow the trumpet and pray, worship, and the walls are going to come down. I bet he felt stupid. I would have. Now, understand, those walls were occupied by warriors. So every time they walked around, they're laughing at them. They're mocking them. Get that in your mind. The enemy's going to stand on your wall and mock you and torture you and persecute you. But you got to say, devil, get off my wall, because God's about to bring it down. God's about to bring it down. I want you to notice the past tense. See, I have, this is before it ever happened. See, I have given you Jericho into your hands. It's past tense. Past tense. See, I've already given it to you. You may not have it. You may not feel it. May not be in your pocket. But he says, I'm going to bless you. Deuteronomy 28 says, the blessings of God are going to chase us down. He said, well, I don't see nothing chasing me. It's because you ain't running for God. When you run for God, those things are going to happen. The past tense. Why was it in the past tense? Because God was saying, I've already secured the victory. The victory's already it's already done. You may not see it, but it's done. So when facing obstacles, we must trust God because he's already made a way. He made a way where you thought there was no way. Even when we cannot see it, instead of relying on our own strength, we must surrender the battle to him. The battle is the Lord's. That's point one. Point two, you must have obedience even when it doesn't make sense. You must be obedient even when it don't make sense. You see, God's instructions were unusual. March around the city. Come on, that's going to do something. March around the city for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day before shouting. You can't even shout until you've done it seven times the seventh day. From a human perspective, put yourself in Joshua's place. From a human perspective, this strategy seems illogical for those that like to be analytical. Can you see that some of y'all, you're so analytical. Joshua, I don't think it's going to work. I've analyzed it. It's not going to happen. You see, Joshua, you're going to be killed. You ain't going to get nowhere. You ain't going to get nothing because I've analyzed it. I've looked at it. You're following a myth. That's the problem with the children of Israel. They always were questioning God. But when it came to this point, Joshua was the leader. He said, this is what you will do. So even if it doesn't make sense, has God ever asked you to do something that makes sense? He has me. Do you realize that God always takes a look at what you will do? Will you be available when he needs you? I moved because God spoke. You move because God speaks. We go forward because God has spoken. So let's go back to the point here. So from a human perspective, it was illogical. Yet they completely obeyed. So what you must do, you have to completely obey. So if you're going to apply this, sometimes God's instructions make no sense at all. It goes beyond human reasoning. But faith requires obedience even when we don't understand. Butch, it's just the way it is. I can't stand here and defend God. That's just the way God is. Many people know if God says it that's the way I preach it. If he said it, I believe it, I accept it. He said, well, don't you know God gets modern too? The problem is we've modernized God right out of our schools, right out of our homes, right out of our lives. If you're wondering about modern, God's real modern. He's the Ancient of Days, and he's already gone into the future. Have you got a tissue right there? Randy, you're supposed to get me one. So say this with me. Faith requires obedience. Even when we don't understand. Thank you so very much. Trusting God's plan, even when it feels unconventional. It leads then to breakthroughs. Even when you say, what in the world is going on? I don't understand. God says, you don't have to understand. Just follow the plan. I like that statement. No, I have to understand. Just follow the plan. What's the next key? If I'm going to make it, if I'm going to see my walls fall, you have to persevere. That's a word people don't like. Persevere until breakthrough comes. Turn to somebody and say, you got to persevere. The Israelite marched for 7 days before the walls fell. Imagine the frustration. They're walking around that big city, each day seeing the walls. What? Joshua said, the walls are going to fall. And we're wearing ourselves out. You're not getting me on camera. I'm walking for the Lord, and my media person's missing me. Those walls are still there. Hey, Joab, look. Hey, Maria, Mariah, look. The wall's still there. Randy, look. They had to keep walking. We, sometimes God don't answer it in 30 minutes. I'm out of here. Bishop prayed for me, and it didn't happen instantaneously. Well, sometimes God don't work that way. Because sometimes, Butch, he wants to see where your heart is. You know, these guys that meet a girl or a guy, they meet each other and they decide they're going to get married in 3 months. Really? You need to study to see where their heart really is, Valerie. I mean, you just need to. It's the truth. We don't know where their heart is. We rush into things, not giving it time. Ron. So they march for 7 days and nothing happens. They're talking to each other. Nothing's going on. They see the wall still standing. Yet they continued in faith, believing, and they believed in their leader, Joshua. We're going to see the walls fall. Many times, though, we expect instant results, but God calls us to perseverance. Well, what is that? It may be praying for a breakthrough. Maybe you need to spend a little time praying for a breakthrough. How about waiting on that promise? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on the promise. How about working through some challenges or keep moving forward when everything's telling you to sit down and stop? Next key. You will achieve victory through something you never thought of before. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now watch this. On the seventh day after their final march, the Israelites gave a mighty shout of praise and the walls collapsed. That's Joshua 6:20. Well, what are you trying to say, Bishop? You will achieve victory. Mark this down. You will achieve victory through worship and declaration. On the seventh day. They cried out. Their victory was sealed, not through their physical force, but through their faith-filled worship and declaration. They stopped and shouted before God. So what does that tell you? Worship is a weapon. Let me say it again. Worship is a weapon. When you worship God, that's why these videos are playing. It's not just the video. You should be worshiping God, thanking Him for who He is. And what He's done for you in your life. Am I making sense? Worship is a weapon. Because the devil, the enemy of your soul, dark force, if you're into Star Wars, whatever you want to call it, it's real. It can't handle worship. Just can't handle you worshiping God. Because that was his problem in the beginning. He was jealous of God's position. Try to study it if you don't believe me. It's there. Worship is a weapon. Say that back to me. When we praise God in the midst of our struggles, we will invite His power into our situation. We invite it there. I'm almost through. Another hour and a half, I'm going to be done. Now, here's something you need to mark down. Instead of focusing on the size of your walls, you need to focus on the greatness of your God. the height of the walls, but I'm going to tell you the height of my God is far greater. So what happens then, Bishop? You do all that and the walls fall. Then what do? This is key too, to be able to continue taking down walls. You devote the victory to God. You devote the victory to God. After Jericho fell, the city and its spoils were dedicated to God. This is a whole other sermon, but they were commanded, you don't take nothing out of the city. You take everything in that city and you burn it. Because it's God's. It belongs to God. You didn't win the battle. I did. So the spoils belong to me. Except, this is another sermon, so I'm going to do it right now. There was one man that decided he'd steal a little bit of it. And his name was Achan. Now that story is a real tough story. We'll get into that some other time. But it didn't go well for Achan and his family. Because the Bible says, in the very next chapter, he said, the children of Israel have sinned. The whole camp has sinned. How did the whole camp sin? One man decided he would take the accursed thing. It was accursed. Because it belonged to God. Now, there's a message on tithe. When you understand, when you take what belongs to God, it's cursed. What am I going to do? If for God so loved the world, why am I going to argue with that? After the fall, all the spoils were dedicated to God. Joshua 6:17. This reminds us that our victories, my victory, your victory, are not for personal glory, but for God's purpose. I don't preach or teach for my glory. Anybody thinks that, you're way off. I'd much rather be sitting somewhere fishing or ride a motorcycle. It's not for my glory. It's for the glory of God. And somebody has to speak truth, because very few people are even talking about truth anymore. They're just not doing it. So it's all for God's purpose. Here is something we have to realize. When God helps us to overcome obstacles, we must, not Floyd, it's no multiple choice there, we must give Him glory and use our testimony to encourage others. If God does, here's the key. Let me give you this key. I wrote this earlier this morning. We must give, when this happens, our time, effort, and energy, we must give so others can enjoy what we have experienced. Because that's the way they're going to experience it. Does that make sense to anybody? So that means, Christian, that or Damon, or I name anybody's name here, when you were saved, what if you'd gotten saved? I guess your dad invited you, whoever invited you. Damon, I'll use it, or I mean anybody. Just put your name there. If you came in and got saved, Damon, and then a week later said, I got it, and went back out and never served the house of the Lord where He brought you to the cross, to enlightenment, what benefit are you to the kingdom of God? Now, I just told y'all some truth right then. The benefit is you make the house great. Why? Because there again, it's God's work. And I declare, we're in the presence of God right now. So here's where we've come to the end of our journey with the walls. The walls in our lives, whether fear or doubt or addiction or financial hardships, I know they can be overwhelming because I've faced them all. But just as God brought down the walls of Jericho, impenetrable, I mean, here they are, double walls. He can bring down your wall. Faith, obedience, and worship. So what is our role in all this? Here we go. Our first role is to trust Him and obey His guidance. persevere in faith, worship in expectation, and dedicate our victories to His glory. That's case in point right there. So I'm going to ask this question in closing. What walls are you facing today? Because you got them. Are you willing to trust God's plan even when it seems unconventional? Are you ready to use worship as a tool for victory in your life? So here's the truth of today's lesson. No wall can stand against God's power. But you have to trust Him. You have to trust Him to take them down.